I'm going to be making the case that post-modernity, rather than dying and going away, has actually become the default setting for the way people think in many of the churches today.
Chris Roseborough, on his presentation, Postmodernism in the Church, at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois.
As a result of it, it constitutes a significant threat against biblical, historic, Orthodox Christianity, because its epistemology is extremely irrational, subjective-based, and in fact, it's even a form of enthusiasm, God-withinism, that at the end of the day has as its project the eroding away and deconstructing of what historic Christianity teaches and confesses.
You can find out more about the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois, at issuesetc.org.
If you call, I will answer. If you follow,
in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Pastor Clement Preuss about the task of an evangelist, continuing our six-part series with him on the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, what they need to hear. But in the meantime, a few of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line, a line that we leave open for you 24/7. Any question, comment, show criticism, show suggestion, anything you want to add, especially for our beloved on-demand listeners, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382, the Issues Etc. comment line. Let's begin with a question about baptism and the Lord's Supper.
This is Mike in Illinois with a question regarding baptism, the Lord's Supper, and felicitous inconsistency. Your answer to listener Scott's email from Monday's comment line email segment raised a question in my mind. Our LCMS forefathers acknowledged that the Trinitarian baptism of heterodox groups such as the Anabaptists were valid even though these groups deny what the plain words of Scripture used in the very rite say, namely that it is God who is doing the work of holy baptism. Even though what these groups were seeking to effect was not a baptism, but an outward sign of an inward faith, a baptism is still had. These same forefathers, and I'm thinking in particular of Professor Francis Pieper, also teach that when heterodox groups, such as the Calvinists, gather to celebrate the Lord's Supper, their denial of the plain meaning of the words of Scripture used in the very rite of Holy Communion creates what Professor Pieper calls a felicitous inconsistency. They gather to celebrate what in their minds is a Lord's Supper, an outward sign of our inward faith, but it is actually a denial of the Lord's Supper, God at work delivering the forgiveness of sins, and therefore it is not the Lord's Supper, and they do not receive it to their condemnation. My question is this: why does the denial of the sacrament in the one case result in a felicitous inconsistency and no sacrament at all, while in the other case, the denial of the sacrament does not actually deny the sacrament? I would think that either both are cases of felicitous inconsistency, in which case we ought to baptize those who enter Orthodox Christianity from such heterodox church bodies because the baptism they received was no true baptism, or both are cases of our Lord working through His Word despite the doubt and unbelief of those receiving the sacrament. Why do we teach the one way with regard to baptism and the other with regard to the Lord's Supper? Thank you very much for all that you do.
That is an excellent question. It's actually, I think, the only time I ever came close to getting into an actual fist fight with anyone other than my brothers as a little kid was in the seminary, in a conversation with a fellow seminarian over this very subject. Do the Reformed have the Lord's Supper when they deny it? And it almost came to blows, but I think there was some beer involved as well. Here is the best answer I can give to that question, and that is, nowhere in Scripture does the apostle or does Jesus ever say of baptism, that isn't a baptism. So there's no precedent in Scripture for saying what someone thought was a baptism wasn't a baptism. The baptism is recognized. And in the case of Jesus, even by those who, they say someone else is baptizing, He says, let them go, baptize. Now, with regard to the Lord's Supper, there is a clear teaching of St. Paul with the Corinthians that what they think is the Lord's Supper isn't. They're misusing the Lord's Supper. We have no reason to believe that they had changed the institution of the Lord's Supper, the actual rite or the words themselves. But in the case of the Corinthians, what they were practicing and how they were conducting the Lord's Supper, Paul says, makes it not the Lord's Supper, but their own. And he explicitly says, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat, but your own meal. So the best answer I can give there, and I tend to agree with you, I think what we need, I would tend to fall on the side of felicitous inconsistency, that Lord continues to work through his means. But I think the reason that the Orthodox Lutheran fathers taught differently about those two different sacraments and the practice of them and what's being taught with regard to them is because there is a precedent with regard to the Lord's Supper to say what someone thinks is the Lord's Supper without changing the rite itself, but either by their behavior or by what they explicitly teach about the Lord's Supper, they render it not the Lord's Supper, but in fact, their own. And that's with the Corinthians. Now, we want to be careful when we do that because we don't want to say that it is, in fact, our faith or our practice that makes the Lord's Supper. It's always the Word. So Paul would say, you've denied the Word, and all you got left is your own useless supper. We'll be right back to talk with Pastor Clement Preuss. If this all confuses you, so tell me why. Why haven't I heard from you?
Solid, serious, substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues Etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
If you're going to a solid Lutheran church that does the liturgy where the historic worship is used, if there ever was a time in the history of the West to just keep doing it, this is that time.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn radio show.
Because the ones in collapsing evangelicalism are going to start looking to Rome or Eastern Orthodoxy or a blown-out Episcopal church, looking for something historical rather than just experiential. And I want us to be one of the markets that they bump into.
You can meet and hear Rod Rosenblatt June 14th and 15th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois.